The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. 4FM.
I want to talk about alcohol and consent. And the majority of Irish college students believe that someone who has consumed as much as a bottle of vodka, 14 pints of beer or 3 bottles of wine, still has the capacity to give consent during sex. Now, students' views on the impact of alcohol has had an individual capacity to grant consent is one of the big focuses of a new report, which says there is an urgent need to raise awareness on the topic. And students were asked about sexual harassment, perceptions of sex education at school, and the connection between heavy drinking and the capacity to give consent. They were also asked, by the way, about unwanted advances. And I don't know why that's a shock, that we have unwanted advances. That's called flirting. Sometimes people get flirt, you know, somebody will flirt at somebody who doesn't want to be flirted to. I mean, that's life, isn't it? Get over yourselves, for God's sake. Now, if they're touching somebody, it's a completely different situation. But if some guy comes up to you in a bar and goes, "All right, love, do you want a drink? You're looking gorgeous today." And you don't want him to do that, that could be considered an unwanted sexual advance. But so what? That's what people do. They flirt with each other. Are we to stop human interaction? Okay, but get back to the consent anyway. The NUI Galway study, led by Dr. Padraig McNeely, includes surveys with more than 3,500 students at sexual consent workshops devised by the NUI Galway and held at 4 colleges nationally. And it found that 70% of female students experienced sexual harassment over the course of a college years. I'm not surprised at that figure. And also, to a lesser degree, 40% of men. And I would say probably the male figure and the female figure is probably the same, but men and women consider sexual harassment to be two completely different things. What women would consider to be sexual harassment and what men consider to be sexual harassment are probably very unequal anyway. So that's not a very fair figure. But in any case, some 71% of female and 63% of male students were dissatisfied with sex education they received at school, with lesbians, gays and bisexuals most likely to be lacking the knowledge they wanted. Well, I would imagine because they were in a minority, they're probably not getting a complete overview of sex education, but however. A cohort of students read one of two versions of a story about sexual consent where the two characters, one male and one female, were drinking heavily. In one version, they consumed 14 standard measures, about a half a bottle of spirits, 7 pints of beer, or a bottle and a half of wine over the course of an evening. Not all together, by the way. One of those. Because if you drank that much, you wouldn't be around to tell the tale, let me tell you. Over the course of an evening, it says a lot about our drinking habits, isn't it? And the other, they drank twice that amount over a 9 to 10 hour period. In the version where 14 standard drinks were consumed, only 20% of students regarded the girl as too drunk to give consent, and 14% saw the male as too drunk to give consent. It's interesting, isn't it, that they don't consider men and women to be equal when it comes to drinking. Even when 28 standard drinks were consumed, 67% did not agree that the female was too drunk to give consent, and 70% did not agree that the male was unable to give consent. However, the majority of students felt that the two characters in the story regret their actions the following day. The difference is, of course, in law, the girl has been raped and the boy hasn't, because that's the way the law works. And according to the report, the lack of apparent force or coercion in the scenario seems to have put it into the category of consensual drunk sex. Yet the recognition that regret could occur the next day does suggest the potential to raise awareness, the capacity to give consent is severely impacted by alcohol consumption. Now, you get the general gist of it, don't you? So the question I wanted to ask you was, do you think a person who drinks as much as a bottle of vodka or 14 pints of beer or 3 bottles of wine still has the capacity to give consent? I mean, do you think a drunk woman in particular, because it's a woman obviously that gives consent, do you believe they have the capacity to give consent after having a few drinks on a night out? Otherwise, technically, it's rape according to the law, because it must be consent. So if you don't believe they have the capacity to give consent, well, then they're guilty of rape. Let me know what you think at 53544. That's 53544. Do you think a person who drinks as much as a bottle of vodka or 14 pints of beer or 3 bottles of wine, the equivalent of, do you believe they have the capacity to give consent for sex? Yes, you believe they do, and it's their responsibility. After all, they're the ones drinking. And if we're saying, by the way, that women in particular are too stupid to give consent after they've had that much drink, well, then it doesn't leave our opinion of women. It must be very, very low. Text 53544. That's 53544. Do you think a person who drinks as much as a bottle of vodka, 14 pints of beer, or 3 bottles of wine has the capacity to give consent? Yes, they have, or no, they haven't. Let me know what you think at 53544. It's a whole interesting conversation. Anyway, Pete, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Pete?
I'm all right now. Yourself?
Good. Pete, I mean, look, this is an interesting bit of research, but 3,500 students, I suppose, a decent sample size, but they are students, so they're probably all out on the piss every night of the week anyway. But, I mean, do you believe that, like, if you were with a girl and she had a fair bit to drink, you know, I mean, would you even think about entering into a sexual...
Well, I can't really put myself in that situation because my mindset is I find it quite unattractive, females being... I mean, I think it's ridiculous what guys get up to when they're drunk, but I find it quite off-putting to see a female...
Well, I kind of find it quite off-putting to see anybody
alcohol,
drunk, but yeah.
Degree.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't even be an issue that I'd be chatting someone up like that.
But why? Can I ask you a question? So I'm not having a go at you, but why is it more unattractive for a woman to be drunk than a man?
I didn't say more. I mean, I'm not going to be attracted to a bloke, whether he's whether he's drunk or not.
Like. Okay, so from a physical attraction point of view. Yeah. All right, okay,
well,
all right.
Isn't that always what it is? Isn't that always? It's always going to be physical attraction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the underlying concept of it. But the question itself is redundant. When you were in your days of spreading your oats around, same as, you know, when we were young, how many times did you go to a girl and say, can I have sex with you, please? That didn't happen. I've never done that. It's just one thing leads to another and leads to another, and then you end up in bed. No, you're not throwing her in bed. You're not actually saying, can I have sex with you?
Yeah, it's what they call assumed consent. Yeah, it's assumed consent.
It's assumed consent, but it's assumed consent on both sides as well. Like.
Mm.
So why should the man be getting into trouble? We at the end of the day, no one's putting a gun to your head and saying drink that bottle of vodka or drink that three bottles of wine.
Under the current legislation, if you went out on a Saturday night and met a girl and she had consumed a copious amount of alcohol, I was under the influence, and even if you had consumed that same amount of alcohol and you were under the influence, and the next morning, you know, you both had sex and God only knows what happened in the middle of the night, and she regretted it, technically speaking, you could be charged with rape and you could be found guilty of rape because under the law, she didn't give consent.
As well, can't you?
Sorry?
I mean, how many times, you know the joke, I never went to bed with an ugly woman, but I've woken up with plenty. So you can have the guy that regrets as well, but he can't shout rape.
The law at the moment, whether you agree with it or not, quite clearly states that she must give conscious consent. Conscious consent does not mean pissed out of her head. So what we're saying is that a guy has a responsibility to stay sober, to make the right decisions, but a woman technically doesn't. She is not responsible for herself, in some sense.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, most of the laws are misogynistic laws anyway, because it's acting as if the woman can't make a choice for herself.
When you say the laws are misogynistic, misandric, you mean?
Yeah. Well, they are, aren't they?
Mm.
I mean,
the law, when it comes to arguments,
if you take it to its basic level, they're saying the woman can't make her own choices. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course, a woman can make her own choices.
But if she's drunk,
it's always on the man's side. Like, and it's ridiculous.
But according to this research, well, even they assumed it. But if she's drunk, you know, she probably would be incapable of making the right decisions.
Well, I mean, usually it's the alcohol that relieves the inhibitions that most people end up having sex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most guys go out to a nightclub to pull, right?
Yeah.
That's one, you know, in their teen, 19, 20, 25, whatever, you go into a nightclub, you're going to pull. That's what you're out there for. You're not just going there to drink alcohol because it's open later than a pub is. Well, then we're making an assumption
that the reason that we pull in nightclubs or that guys and girls, you know, go out on the flirt and out on the pull in nightclubs is because everybody's loosened up by alcohol.
That's exactly what alcohol does to you.
Well, that's contradictory to the law, isn't it?
It's not a hidden secret at all. It's because of the alcohol that people get frisky and flirty, and that you're going to have more chance of getting off with someone after a nightclub than you are going to a football match in the middle of the day.
Well, currently, the current culture and the current, I suppose, climate now is suggesting that culture of going to a nightclub and going on the pull, you know, is wrong.
Yeah, well, we're all following this American ideology now, aren't we, where it seems that no one has any consequence to the actions anymore if you're female, which is ludicrous. And it makes out that the women are stupid. And women are stupid. but it gives the victim mentality that the feminists are all jump on the bandwagon of, like, this, oh yeah, the man has to do this and the man has to do, well, you know, there are consequences to both actions. You have to know that when you're doing something, something's going to happen, you know?
So what you're saying is men and women should equally share the responsibility of being stupid.
All the time.
Yeah.
They're saying it's the man's fault, but in subtly and subconsciously, they're saying the woman doesn't have the bloody mentality to make any choices of herself, which is ludicrous.
Okay, well, we'll stay there a second, because Francis, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Francis?
How are you doing?
You know, I mean, this is an interesting survey that even students felt that, well, even with all the awareness that's around in consent classes and all the rest, that they still thought that if a woman was drunk, sure, it was okay to have sex. The consent, although regretful, was still, you know, it's still categorised as consent.
Yeah, well, I read it this morning and I thought it was flawed in that it didn't say over what period of time or whether food had been consumed, because it makes a difference. If a guy is out drinking all day and he's had 14 pints and a girl has consumed a bottle of wine in an hour.
But it did say they drank it over the course of 9 to 10 hours.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be taken into consideration. I mean, you know, your body weight index and all that has to come into it, whether you've had food.
But in fairness, Francis, if you drank 14 standard measures, you know, or even double that, as they suggest in the second scenario, you'd be fairly pissed.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. So. I don't drink.
Well, if you drank that much in an hour and a half, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you would.
But
if you started
half,
at 12 in the afternoon and you were taking it steady and to 3 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't be drunk on that much alcohol.
You wouldn't. Absolutely, you wouldn't. So, you know, I just think the onus should be on both of them. There has to be personal responsibility here. I don't think that it's down to a guy or a girl. If both of them are drunk, either one of them can say that they have been raped. If they wake up the morning and don't have any recollection of how they got there, but they know they were together in the nightclub. I mean, you can't just, you know.
Okay, well, I gave this scenario.
The only problem with that, though, is if a woman says rape, the man ends up in jail. If the man says rape, he gets laughed at.
I know.
Well, I mean, I did give this scenario to the Rape Crisis Centre many years ago, and they refused to come on my show ever since. Well, I don't know whether they still refuse to come on, because we haven't checked in a while. But I gave a scenario of Mary and John, you know, they meet in a nightclub. They both have taken a fair bit of alcohol. Now, they're not falling on the ground or anything like that, but they're fairly pissed, right? And they meet and have a few dances, and they're getting on well together. They go back to John's flat that night. John has a couple of beers in the fridge. They're on the sofa. You know, a bit of heavy petting is how it takes place. And, you know, they have a few more beers and they end up in bed. Next morning, they wake up and neither of them had any real idea what happened the night before or whether they consented to it. But obviously, Mary feels violated and feels this shouldn't have happened. I mean, and the question I asked at the time was, is that rape, to which the Rape Crisis Centre told me it was? Now, I didn't necessarily agree.
No, I don't agree with that.
Oh, no, unless there was violence or force taking place, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But we have to be honest about this.
But maybe I'm wrong now, you know.
The majority of students go out, and, you know, I have a son that age. The majority of students do go out with the intention of getting drunk. They're not at an age, a lot of them, where they can say, I'm going to have a few drinks and go home. The intention is, and nightclubs and pubs target them, you know, for cheap drinks on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night or whatever. So, I mean, there we have even the colleges and the universities have pubs in them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a bit disingenuous, you know, to say that, you know, they're very sensible. They target them themselves, you know. So I just don't agree with it. I think it does women a disservice. I'm capable of saying no as the next person.
See, this is what I find wrong about this whole thing is, you know, we're told that, you know, obviously we're all not stupid. We understand that alcohol has a serious effect on our ability to make the right decisions, right? We're not stupid, okay? And yet we turn around in law and we say that if somebody takes a lot of drink and partakes willingly in something and then regrets it afterwards, that indeed can be, you know, against the law. But then what we're saying is that you can't be responsible for yourself anymore.
Exactly, and I think it does women a disservice. What I consider rape and that, I would consider that a mistake if they wake up and they have regrets the next morning. They have to do the walk of shame.
That's what it was
rape.
Called in my day. It was called the walk of shame.
It's still called that.
Well, it's not. It's not called the walk of shame anymore.
I've heard people use that term recently.
Well, I nowadays there seems to be.
I mean, they're laughing about it.
I think there's a lot of women out there will accept it's the walk of shame. I think there's a lot of women and men, by the way. I don't want to sound sexist in this whole argument, but there's a lot of women and men out there who have sex that they probably regret, or interaction with women or men that they probably regret the next morning. And I think for most people, it's a case of, all right, there's a lesson learned. Won't do that again. Off out the door with your shoes in your hand, right?
Yeah, but I think a lot of feminists and liberals have redefined the term as we had known it. And I think it's very easy now to talk people into thinking that what we considered...
The walk of shame.
Walk of shame is now rape. And I think the climate has gone that way, that there's no tolerance for making a mistake now, you know. And that, I just find the whole thing really disturbing. And I think we're going down a very dangerous road.
And I feel there's a lot of pressure, particularly on young men. You know, when it comes, I mean, human interaction is human interaction. Flirtation, you know, approaches.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, in this article, well, it talks about 70% of women have had unwanted or unwelcomed sexual advances. I mean, absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with that. I'd say they probably have. And I'd say equally as many men have, but they define it differently.
I think it said 56% of men by the third year in college. And that's only the 56 of men that have reported it, I would assume.
Yeah, because men define sexual advances differently to the way women define them.
Absolutely.
So I would imagine the figure is probably equal. But my answer to that is, so what? I mean, the thing about it is, when a guy comes up to a girl at a bar or, you know, at a union, student union gig or whatever it is, and goes, all right, love, what's the story? Any chance? Yeah. You know, get lost. Clown you.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So, I mean, whatever happened to that? That has become a sexual advance or unwanted sexual advance, and it's some sort of crime.
You know, we're very carte blanche when we want feminism to suit us, you know. Like, if somebody brushed off me, you know, or said something inappropriate, you just go and tell them, you know, to journey on, take a walk, you know.
Journey on.
No, you just wouldn't.
That's very polite.
You just wouldn't tolerate it.
Jog on is the new one, Francis. Jog on.
Oh, is it jog on? There?
Jog on there.
You just wouldn't tolerate it, you know. And women seem to have lost their voice. They just run for somebody else to sort their problem now, you know.
Okay, well, hang on for a second. Stay there. Let me just go to Finn as well, because Finn, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Finn?
Hi, how are you, sir? You all right?
Good, Finn. I mean, Pete was talking about it there, and so was Francis. I think everybody's kind of in agreement in relation to this survey or this research. I mean, that suggests, I don't know what it's trying to suggest, that we should take into consideration when a woman is under the influence of alcohol.
Well, first off, it's now called the stride of pride as opposed to the walk of shame.
The stride of pride?
That's what they call it now, yeah.
All right, okay.
And secondly, like I said to Sausage there, if I had 14 pints, the last thing on my mind would be sex. I wouldn't even be thinking of hillbillies. It'd be just home to bed to sleep it off. And you well know, and this is what I'm going to say, a standing penis doesn't have a conscience. So after alcohol, your whole perception of everything becomes blurred. And the fact now that, you know, they've done this survey, and what's it doing? All it's doing is it's encouraging people to be promiscuous. It's encouraging, hang on, do you know what? And like you say, if it goes into a court, and that lady made a very good comment, they're feminists when it suits them. You know, until some shit hits the fan, and then it becomes a case of, hang on, it's all the guy's fault when it isn't, because there has to be a 50-50 balance. It takes two to tango.
Yeah, but there are, now we have to be fair, there are guys out there, you know, who don't get too drunk and purposely pick on women who may have a lot to drink because they know the opportunity may be there and it's a lot easier.
Yes, but women are capable of doing that as well, and I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen, you know. I'll get, you know, if he has a few drinks in him, I'll start chatting him up, you know. And it happens, and it's, you know, it's disingenuous to say that it's only happening on the male side. It's not. Women are every bit as forward now as men are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they have to accept that.
Well, the law doesn't seem to accept that.
Well, they either want equality or they don't. Nobody is denying that rape and, you know, sexual harassment or, you know, happens. We all know that happens. But you have to be logical about it. And there has to be some part of personal responsibility and just saying, stick away from me, I'm not interested, walk away. Do you know what I mean?
But even on a daily day basis, Neil, and you've worked in the industry, in the pub industry, in the nightclub industry, there's a lot of of promiscuity between the staff members themselves, and the following day it's a kind of a topic of conversation, but it's something that isn't going to progress. It's just, oh, I had too much to drink after work tonight, ended up sleeping with the glass collector, ended up sleeping with the barman, and it's just forgotten about after a week, unless there's a case of somebody says, wait a minute, that was totally wrong, I didn't want this, I'm going to cry rape. And it's the same with guys. I'm not just saying it's a women thing. It's the same with guys. They might be doing it, but like the guy said, we get laughed out of court, whereas a woman would be taking that more serious.
Yeah, and this is starting at an early age. Like, I know of kids that go to, you know, after they've done their junior cert or whatever, and they could be at one of these junior discos, and they're having meets with girls or with, you know, so for every boy that's having a meet, there's a girl, and this could happen 10 times. So they're, you know, they're kissing up to 10 different people in a night or whatever it is, you know, and it happens, and I've heard so many parents now.
Well, then isn't the real solution here then not to be having silly surveys about, you know, consent, you know, and alcohol consumption, but isn't the real solution here to be talking about alcohol consumption? Because that's the problem, isn't it? Is the alcohol consumption.
Yes, it seems to be, yeah. And I think it's just, you know, somebody that's had, a lad that's had 14 pints over 10 hours and a girl that's had a bottle of wine over 2 hours, it's going to be very difficult to say which one is more drunk. If one has had a meal in between, has paced himself, maybe stopped for an hour or two. Like, you know, she says, he says.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, you know, a drunk girl really only appeals probably to a drunk bloke in most cases, because drunks tend to appeal to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, because I would probably agree with Pete's remarks at the very start. You know, if I was out on the pole, as you know, as a young man, a drunk woman wouldn't have appealed to me from a physical point of view. And I mean, I don't know, Finn, I mean, do you drink, Finn?
I do, yeah.
And have you ever, I mean, do you get drunk when you drink, or do you just drink socially?
Not so much now, because I'm getting older, but, like, I do drink, but, like, I agree with Pete 100% that there's no attraction in a drunk girl, because, well, it's a physical attraction, and that's the foremost to any relationship. There has to be some level of conversation, there has to be some, but there's nothing worse than, and I'm not being sexist, it's the same with blokes.
I would imagine, Francis, you would feel the same way, you know, in your younger days, probably, you know, a drunk man falling all over you wouldn't really appeal to you.
No, it wouldn't appeal to me. I want somebody that, you know, can, you know, talk to me, have a bit of a laugh, maybe a dance, you know, that can be coherent and stand would be the criteria in a nightclub, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole thing about sexual advances as well, I wanted to move on to that as well. I mean, they talked about sexual advances in this, and this fact, the survey basically said the majority of female third level students had reported experienced sexual hostility or crude gender harassment at some point since starting college. In a survey, 632 students conducted by NUA in Galway, 54% of the first year women students reported experienced sexual hostility and crude gender harassment, and 64% among the second year students, and 70% among by the time they got the third year, whereas with men's comparable figure was 25, 37 and 40%. In other words, 40% of men versus 70% of women. But the point has to be taken, I think, from that is the definition of what they called unwanted sexual advances.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think guys are sensitive,
right, as what you call silly surveys.
I'm sorry, I can only hear one at a time. Just hang on, Francis. Sorry, Pete, what are you saying?
Right, they're doing all these surveys, and they do surveys of every kind of different blooming thing, ridiculousness. But what's dangerous about this is when they start using these surveys as the underpinning of upcoming laws.
Hi, Noel. All right, look, any chance you could bring... I'm certainly not reading that out. A gang went on the piss, ended up in a flat. One man slept on the couch. The other man on his flat got into the bed with a woman in the same room. He chanced his arm. He got 6 years for touching her breast. He pleaded not guilty, but he was known for taking women into bed. Okay, is that something out of a news story that you sent me or something like that? Because I have no idea what you're talking about. Noel, I absolutely agree with your callers today. The law is becoming outrageous, and a person says, Noel, as a woman, I find it difficult in today's world with men approaching me on a regular basis. All right. Okay, keep texting 53544. That's 53544. Francis and Finn, just stay there for a second. Let me just go to Liz. Liz, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Liz?
Hi, Noel.
Liz, go ahead.
I agree with your callers there. I think the law itself is ridiculous. I think it's taking the responsibility away from women altogether. And to be honest, if I was a male in the world at the moment, I'd be very worried about where things are going. Because by the sounds of it, you can't even look in a woman's direction without being able to accuse you of something. And it's just, I think it's becoming a scary world. Like, I just don't understand how any woman could use the excuse of being drunk, like, to say they were raped because they couldn't consent because they were too drunk. I just think it's ridiculous.
But if a woman is extremely drunk, I mean, let's be clear about it, no man should actually, you know, take advantage of a woman who's obviously drunk, provided he's sober enough to understand that. But if he's equally drunk...
Exactly, if he's equally drunk, who's the rapist?
Well, you know, the law clearly states he is. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's so wrong, and it is so ridiculous that if I was a man...
So what we're saying is men should have a level of responsibility to stay sober enough to make the right decision. But
women can get drunk.
But women are protected by the law.
They don't have any responsibilities whatsoever. And
but
that's a silly thing, Finn.
That's a silly thing for you to say, Niall, because why...
But that kind of is the law.
Yeah. I know, but for a guy to have a responsibility, a level to say sober enough, it seems to be all drink related. This topic, of course, is fine.
Absolutely.
But if a guy goes out and then that, all of a sudden that's a pressure on a guy. He meets a guy and a girl in a nightclub. They become very attracted to each other, and she consents while she has a few drinks more, maybe one or two drinks more than him, and it's consensual. And then the next day she regrets it, but the guy has made a rational choice. He has said, "Hang on, this girl wants it, so do I. Let's go for it," because it takes two to tango. So for you to say that a guy has to go out and say, "You know, no, I'm not going to have this drink simply because I might end up with somebody that I like and she mightn't like it," following, that's a silly, silly thing to say.
Mm.
But that's what the law is making the world think at the moment. But that's what I'm saying, the man can't have that one more drink just in case, whereas the woman doesn't have to take any responsibility because of the fact that she's had a drink. I think that's a very scary world.
It is, and it's scarier for people. It's scarier for the likes of people who've got teenage kids that are coming into that environment.
It's scary for teenage boys.
Sorry, Francis.
I have a teenage boy. I have a 19-year-old, and my advice is to him: don't get with a girl. You know, if you're out and you meet somebody or whatever. Just, you know, if you want to meet them the next day or whatever, do it. Now, generally speaking, I think...
Don't be having one-night stands, basically.
Exactly. Don't be having one-night stands. But somebody's doing it because the increase of STDs, you know, they've gone up over the years. So, I mean, somebody's having sex.
But you know what I find strange? All this education and all this talk over the last, particularly 10 years, particularly over the last 4 or 5 years, anyway, that I've noticed, you know, about sexual harassment, and we're redefining all these things, and we're basically taking human nature out of everything now, and everything has to have a definition. And yes, we're telling all the young people this, consent, 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 consent. And yet last year, if you look at the crime figures, sexual assault is up, sexual harassment is up, and rape is up. So either it's not working, or we're doing it wrong, or we're doing the wrong thing. What we're doing essentially is victimizing people. Maybe I'm completely wrong in saying that, but are we basically making people out to be victims who are not actually victims at all?
No, we're giving people the weapons to make themselves be victims. Women are making themselves, because every little thing is considered sexual harassment now.
Yeah.
And that's why that's
all the guidelines. Sorry, Finn.
There's too many guidelines that takes away from common sense, and now it's a case of, actually, yeah, I can say this and I can do this, but if I don't like it because this guideline says he shouldn't have done this, there I am, I'm a victim. So you said it. We're putting guidelines, but we're not educating people enough.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, Francis and Liz. So you're standing in a bar, I don't know, well, I'm not even going to ask you ladies what age you are, but maybe, you know, in your single days, I know you're both partners and what have you now, but in your single days, you're standing in a bar and a guy comes over, pissed out of his head, right? And he goes, "All right, love, any chance of coming back to my place tonight for a bit of you know what?" I mean, okay, is that sexual harassment?
No, not
that's
in my
human
opinion.
Nature, not in my opinion either.
But see, nowadays it is.
Yeah,
well, it's the same with those.
What to think by, you know, the Rape Crisis Centre and, you know, student unions and feminist groups. They're all telling us what it is and how we should behave. We don't now have an opinion of our own. And, you know, when we go to handle it ourselves, you know, we're being told, "Oh, no, you know, don't do that," or, you know, I just think that there has to be a level of common sense comes into it.
Okay, well, do me a favour, just stay there for a second, because I want to go to Brian, who's a mature student from Galway. Brian, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Good. Well, interesting. This survey came from Galway, NUI in Galway. Are you in NUI, by the way?
I am indeed, actually. I just finished my degree in sociology, politics and philosophy, as a matter of fact.
All right. Did you get asked the question during the survey? Were you one of the respondents in this particular survey?
See, this is the funny thing. Mature students, we tend to get ignored quite an awful lot, actually.
Well, okay. No surprise. All right, okay. Well, according to this, by the way, that 70% of female students in their third year had been exposed to sexual harassment and only 40% of men. Now, I put that down to the fact that men may define sexual harassment very differently to women. But in relation to the alcohol part of it as well, you know, this misunderstanding about what is and what isn't consent, and do you accept consent when a woman has taken a copious amount of alcohol?
It's funny, actually, my girlfriend and I were listening to the early part of the show, so we were discussing this thing, you know, and as Francis, I think, was made the very, very fair point, you know, people's bodies can handle a certain amount differently. I mean, my body mass has actually shrunk because I've been losing weight, so I can't handle alcohol the same way I used to.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But so my girlfriend and I go out for a few drinks, and I get a bit more jarred than she does, and you know we do hop at the good foot and do the bad thing, as they say. Does that mean she raped me? Do you know what I mean? The definition, as both of those ladies said, is completely ludicrous. It's too broad. It's far too broad. Do you know, and as I said, being a mature student, seeing the other students now. Again, me being a mature student, you unfortunately tend to get classified as being not cool or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just in the majority of students are obviously 18, 19, 20, you know, and for some reason they seem to think we look down their noses at them, mainly because we sit in the front row and actually want to learn. But, you know.
But the law seems to suggest, Brian, that only men have a responsibility to stay reasonably sober to understand what's going on, but not women.
Absolutely ludicrous. I mean, and in fairness, there are so many feminist movements going on in Ireland at the moment. They make me physically ill because I'm like, wait a minute, you're telling me that the crimes that were committed towards on women, like obviously before the 1970s, women in Ireland virtually had no rights, you know, are now our fault. So you and I seem to be paying for the sins of our fathers, if you'll forgive the expression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you want to talk about an equal society, well then make it equal. Don't just make it all about poor women or poor men.
I don't believe the majority of women agree with this kind of a lot of this nonsense. Because, I mean, I've been talking to Frances, who's very logical as a woman and completely understands the logic behind this. But in saying that, what we're basically saying is that women with drink are too stupid to make decisions.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Or they're too stupid not to drink too much in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, you may as well say, oh, women shouldn't drink that. I mean, that's how sexist it is. And that's, to be fair, it is extremely sexist.
Are we going to say to women, right, because you're incapable of making a decision with drink on you, we're going to say two drinks and that's it? There'd be uproar.
But lads, you can have as much as you want.
That's the way it's
always been. Do you know what I mean? And then, as I said, but as the other callers have said, men get, it's very easy to say for a woman to say to a man, you know, you touch me inappropriately. But, and I'm no joke, I was out there, and I remember it so clearly because it never happened again. I was about 18, 19, and in what was Cuba down here in Galway, really great, great nightclub, and this girl touched me backside, and I went, holy, you know, I didn't know what it was, and she went, you're cute, and I went, thanks, don't touch me. And it was, she was totally taken aback, and she immediately got really cross, and she said, well, I just thought you were cute. I said, you had violated my personal space. Now, I have Asperger's syndrome, so people touching me without my permission, you know, and I wondered.
Well, do me a favor. Hang on, because I have to take a break, Brian. Just let me finish this story after the break, because there was somebody else I want to talk to as well. Stay there, please, Francis. Let me just go back to Brian. So, Brian, so this girl in the nightclub in Cuba touched you on the bottom, said you had a nice bum. By the way, it happened to me in Limerick at a listener party. A girl came up to me at the listener party, I think I've mentioned before, and she grabbed me by the testicles, gave it a good squeeze, and said, I've always wanted to do that, Niall Boylan. Now, I'm not going to go run into the guards, all right?
Yeah.
But in saying that, I was a bit taken back, and I just walked off, right? She thought it was hilarious. Yeah. So you said something to her, don't do that to me.
Yeah, I said, please don't. I said, she said, you're cute. And I said, well, thank you, but please don't touch me.
Right, okay. And how did she react, by the way?
She really aggressively and really offended, and she took off like a shot. And then all of us, about 20 minutes later, it must have been. Now, I was standing over here with my mates. I didn't really think much of it. I told her where to go, but I didn't do it in a rude way. I was flattered, but at the same time, I didn't, you know.
It would be unusual for a guy to have that reaction. Yeah, by the way, I'm not having a go at you, Brian. I'm just saying
No.
And with the Asperger's, I kind of understand as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was, and that's just, you know, again, I didn't, and I was thinking to myself, did I overreact? And I was saying to my mates, I was like, no, Brian, even you didn't overreact. And about 20 minutes later, one of her friends came over and said, "You really upset my friend." And I went, "Who?" And I was like, because again, it just left my head, more or less. I was thinking, like, I wasn't going to linger on it.
Okay, well, do me a favor, say that, because Sarah, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sarah?
Hi, how's it going?
Good, Sarah. You take exception to maybe something Frances said there. Go ahead.
I think it's Frances, yeah. She was talking about women, about, obviously men as well get raped. But she was saying that, you know, it's to do alcohol and whatever. Like, I've seen it firsthand, like, how the word consent is a grey area in the law system we have here, where I know of somebody that was raped, and she was raped, and it was brought all the way to the court, DPP, 5 days in court, and they couldn't get over the word consent because, obviously, a little bit of alcohol was taken, and but it was just that word kept coming all the time, consent, consent, consent. Now, that case took 2 years to come to court. It didn't just go to court because he said it was raped. It went to court because she was raped. And it was, again, down to the last term of the word, sorry.
Well, it doesn't. With Sarah, a case doesn't go to court because a person is guilty. A case goes to court because we believe we may have enough evidence to bring a person to court and decide whether they're guilty.
No, I understand that. Yeah. I don't mean to say that they're guilty, but in the, like, I'm just saying, I understand that, yeah.
You know the girl. I understand you know the girl, yes.
Yeah. And the case is really, really strong. And, you know, you see the first time. Now, I was there for 5 days, so I've seen her.
Without identifying the person involved or anything like that, can I ask you in relation to the case itself, was it a case of a girl was under the influence of alcohol and was taken advantage of? Is that the kind of case it was, or something similar to that?
Yeah, it was similar to that, but they were all friends, to be honest with you, and it was down to the story at the end was he went in beside her in bed to keep her warm, and that was his statement that he used, and she took her hours. She was trying to get in contact with people because she knew she'd been raped, but it came down to CCTV and that she was seen walking outside, getting into a taxi, and she was capable of walking into the taxi. So again, it was his word against hers. But she had everybody from the Rape Crisis Centre, who were brilliant to her. That one of the top gynecologists in Ireland was there and did all the tests and everything. But again,
yeah. So there was no question of the fact that she did have intercourse. Obviously, there was no question around that.
Yeah, she did, and the police were involved, and they were brilliant and everything. And
so the argument essentially in court was he was obviously suggesting he was not guilty and believed that assumed he had consent.
Yeah, he did. But even though he had a girlfriend and all, and she was in the other room. But I don't really want to get into it.
That part is kind of, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, but the argument is, you're right around the fact of whether she consented or not.
Yeah, and that's what it came down to. And the word was consent, and it kept coming up.
How did the case end?
It ended up that he got off.
He was found not guilty.
And there was another two other cases on that same week. They got off with the...
Well, see, when you use the word they got off, you're suggesting that somehow the law is wrong. When you say they got off, I mean, if two people get into bed and they're drunk and something happens and that shouldn't happen, and it's very regrettable in a lot of cases, you can't automatically say they got off. That suggests that they were guilty but for some reason got away with it.
No, I'll tell you, I'm saying that he's guilty because I was there, I've seen it, it was all the evidence was there. Everybody that was with us. Now, I'm saying he was guilty. I'm not saying...
I know.
We believe that he was guilty, and a lot of other people believe that he was guilty, but again, he had...
Okay, well, I don't have a huge amount of time, but let Frances just respond to that. Frances, there are a lot of cases like that where an innocent girl gets taken advantage of because she may have a lot of alcohol consumed, and, you know, a guy, you know, takes advantage of that situation. Now, I don't know whether he was drunk as well, you know, but... You can clearly see that he was found not guilty in the court of law. But
well, then he's not guilty. I mean, you either accept the law or you don't accept it. You can't have it both ways. You can't because you know the person. And her understanding on that night was that he did rape her or whatever. Possibly he did. I don't know. I wasn't there, no more than you were. You can hear. It doesn't mean to say that I can't have sympathy for the girl for the way that she's feeling, but it doesn't necessarily mean that she was raped.
Yeah.
A court of law has decided that she wasn't. So you either have to accept that or you don't.
I mean, everybody would agree, you know, Sarah, that everybody has the utmost empathy and sympathy for the way the girl might feel and the regrets she feels after that particular night and what happened. But that's, as Francis rightly says, the law doesn't take into consideration the way you feel. The law has to, you know, take into consideration what actually happened and did somebody consent, whether they were under the influence or not. Did they consent?
Yeah. Oh, no, I understand that. All I'm saying is there is a grey area in that word and alcohol has a lot to pay with it. But at the same time, you know, and some people do take advantage of people under the influence of drink. But at the same time, no means no. You know, and it's not to do with women's labour because, like, if anybody said anything to me, I'd say, sorry, that's how I was brought up. It's how to do with your confidence and how you can say to somebody, listen, just go away or walk away. You know, you don't have to make another say that everybody's trying to rape you or whatever.
Well, I think there's a lesson learned for everybody when we have these kind of discussions, that everybody obviously has a personal responsibility as well. And it's a deeper conversation too, Sarah. And I thanks very much and I do welcome your opinion.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. 4.